Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Thank you, Father, for making this possible. Thank you for anointing me and blessing us today, Lord, to understand the great things that you're doing and the testimonies that you're giving to your saints through praise. And we thank you for it much, in Jesus' name. All right, we're going to start with Ministering Angels through UBM, number 10. And I would say a subtitle could be Praise Brings Testimonies, number 2. And I'm going to share Matthew and Anna Stewart's revelation here and their testimony. On 8/31/22, we called it Restoration and Deliverance. Matthew Stewart said, At the eighth day, praise and worship, anointing and celebration, when the first song was playing, I felt the presence of the Lord fill the room. And then, immediately, I was filled up with the Holy Spirit, and I felt a lot of weight come off of me and a great deliverance. And when we kept on singing to the next song, it was like I had a knowing in my spirit that I could see a lot of angels joining in with us in praise and worship to the Lord. The following Monday night meeting, we were in praise and worship, and the Lord spoke to me and said, You have been restored to your former glory. Now, I knew what this meant, because for the last few years I had backslidden, and the Lord was trying to get my attention, and ultimately breaking my back in a car accident. So now I feel free. So what the Lord meant by being restored to my former glory was being restored to the point I was at before I started running away from the Lord. And by the way, Anna told me he's a different man. Praise the Lord. Anna Stewart said, Frustration has always been a stronghold in my life for as long as I can remember, often showing up in frustration towards my children that I knew was unreasonable. I was so grieved over it, and I felt like I was getting worse instead of overcoming. I was even tempted with fears that maybe I really was getting worse because I was reprobated and not elect. And would thus never be able to overcome. It was a hard battle to fight because I could feel the spirit of frustration come into me, but I had to treat it like a lying symptom and believe that it was gone, even while still feeling it. At the eighth day praise and worship, anointing and celebration, my baby was screaming and crying continually, and I couldn't calm her down. I had to leave the room where all the saints were, and I was feeling frustrated again because I was thinking I may miss something important from the Lord. I kept casting it down, but nothing changed. But at the next meeting night, when we came together, my baby did the same thing. And I had to step out of the room for almost an hour while she cried and screamed. But then I realized the frustration was gone. Although I wanted to be in the room, I really didn't mind having to leave the room to try to comfort her unsuccessfully. It was an incredible feeling of freedom. Thoughts and emotions of frustration tried to tempt me a few times, but they seemed weak, and I felt so strong to overcome. It felt like only my flesh and no longer a demon. I felt so empowered by the Lord to hold on to my deliverance and give the enemy no ground. Praise the Lord for freedom. And I might say that after Anna overcame this demon of frustration, her baby was delivered to, and now is a very peaceful and calm baby in our meetings with a lot of joy on her. Okay, another testimony. Taryn's mom healed. This is Taryn Ezell, 8:25-22. Taryn requested us to pray and agree with her at our Monday night prayer meeting that followed our eighth day anointing, praise and worship celebration, concerning her mom. She said, "My mom is an unbeliever, and I had a conversation the other day with her because of her debilitating pain and sciatica that runs down her back into her legs, and the osteoarthritis and neuropathy in her feet. I asked her if she would follow Christ if he healed her of these things. She said she thinks of him all the time. And I said, well, that's not really following the Lord. She exhibits no fruit, but I have been praying for her since 2009. Last night she said her hip was hurting pretty bad in addition to her usual pains and asked if I would pray for her. And I told her we were at the fellowship and yes, we would pray. So I asked everyone at the meeting to agree with me and pray the Lord would touch her hip and that she would know it was him. Well, our fellowship has been experiencing much power in prayer, resulting in many miracles and quick answers to our prayers since we obeyed the Lord's message through the angels. My mom wrote me early the next morning and said, I slept so good, and my hip is so much better. Praise the Lord. My mom doesn't sleep well either, and usually takes Benadryl to sleep, so that was an added bonus. Thank the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to update you on a testimony I've already shared, but there's a really good ending to it. I'd like to recap it just a little bit. And I'm calling this Deliverance from Pests. And the dreams that we have had show that the faction was throwing witchcraft curses at us, and the angels were throwing them back. Actually, what we've discovered is it was pretty good practice for us. We gained discernment, we gained wisdom, and of course, we were shown clearly how to break any curses that were sent against us. So the angels just told us that they are covered with these curses. That is, the people that threw them in the first place. They're covered with these curses that they sent. And one of these curses was an invasion of millipedes under our house and deck, which we came against by faith. Michael, Brandy, and I noticed that we could walk through the house and see no millipedes in front of our paths, and then turn immediately around and we would see them where we had just walked, right behind our feet. Okay, you say that's not possible, naturally speaking. Yes, we know that. That's one reason we knew it was witchcraft. So the millipedes can't obviously move that fast, so we knew this was witchcraft. They move pretty slow, actually. I asked the angels, if we believe, will the Lord curse all the pests on this mountain and around and under the house? Well, Eve said, I'm seeing a vision of an angel standing in the backyard with a flamethrower. He is waiting for our command of faith to sweep this mountain with fire and kill all the pests. So we prayed and commanded it to be done. The infestation of millipedes and bullfrogs are dead by faith, and we believe the surrounding area of mice, ticks, and jiggers are dead too. That's pretty nice, huh? We had never ever seen a bullfrog on top of this mountain before, because all the water runs off. So figure out how this could happen, you know. So Eve said, when I was at David's house, I saw a vision of a giant demon 10 feet tall standing at the back deck next to the bird feeder. Well, she said, I later found out his name was Lorgonos. He had white eyes like he was blind, and he had a large barrel-shaped chest and skinny arms and legs. He had his claws raised up like he was going to get us, and a large gaping toothless mouth. He was covered with large millipedes swarming all over him, and mice and frogs hopping and crawling over him, as well as wasps. So David and Michael said, we should go out and command the demon by name to leave and take all of his pests with him. So we did. And now he's gone with his millipedes. And while we were commanding this demon to leave, I saw Baruch and Jeruel come and bind his hands behind his back and take him off in the direction of the flame-throwing angel in the backyard. Well, a week later, we were still seeing millipedes and bullfrogs. And I asked the angels why they had not been manifestly removed, and the angel Baruch said, it is because you are spending too much energy and focus on them. So here's what I did, the last thing I was doing. I quit sucking them up with the hand vacuum when I found them in the house. Millipedes are, you know, can crawl under any crack or through any crack and whatever, you know. And basically I just began to ignore their presence altogether. Well, think about this. You know, when you command something to be done, you're to walk in the way that a person who had received would walk. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. So, the angel was saying I was expending too much energy. And that, of course, when I got up in the morning and I would see two or three or four millipedes crawling across the floor, I'd get the little hand back and suck them up. And I wasn't ignoring them. But when I started ignoring them, things changed. Here's an update about the millipedes. I prayed that the angels would not only kill the millipedes and frogs, but also remove their carcasses. And this is when they manifestly disappeared without a trace. So I wasn't expending any energy whatsoever, and I was just totally resting concerning it. So they disappeared without a trace overnight, and their carcasses were gone too. So this was amazing, because we had been cursing them and they were dying this whole time and leaving carcasses behind. But when this manifested, we couldn't even find one carcass, and there had been thousands of them. They were gone. Which is exactly what I prayed. Okay, now, so that's be a really good lesson for us, you know. Be sure and walk as though you have received, as though the problem is over. And talk as though you have received and the problem is over, right? Amen. Okay, so here's an update on the tractor repair miracle. Our tractor had front-wheel drives on the front two wheels. The drive gears on one side broke and jammed up that wheel. This was some time back. Okay. We replaced the gears, which were expensive, plus our time. You know, we didn't want to spend time on something like that. But later, the other side's gears broke. At first, we just kind of rolled the other side to make sure it felt good, and it did feel good. We didn't know that we would have any problems with it, so we went on just changing the gears on one side, right? But then the other side gears broke and jammed up exactly the same way. But I decided I wanted God to fix them this time. And when the tractor was part way down the mountain, the left front wheel drive gears broke. And I was to pick up a trailer and put it, and put it on a trailer. But suddenly the tractor would not move forward or backwards. When it was in four-wheel drive or not in four-wheel drive, it didn't make any difference because it had jammed up that wheel. So I picked up the tiller with the tractor and asked Greg to drive under it with the trailer, and I was able to just set it down on the trailer. So when Greg left, the tractor was still stuck right there on the side of the mountain. So the next morning, I asked the Lord if I could go and get that tractor and drive it up to the top. So I went by faith, and I got on the tractor and drove it to the top of the mountain, just like it had never been locked up. Drove it to the top of the mountain, and I parked it. And then we needed to move a tank with it later, and discovered that it was jammed up right where I parked it. Totally jammed up. This manifestly, those gears were broken just like the first gears were broken, shattered, and laying in the housing and jamming the wheel from turning. Okay. So I asked the angels, "If I believe, will you fix my tractor?" And Baruch said, "Yes, it will be healed." He used the term I use a lot when talking about physical things being healed. He used the term that I knew, understood, you know. So he said, he went on to say, "Only believe and don't doubt." That's the thing you always have to fight when you're believing something miraculous from God. It's doubt. That the devil immediately sends doubt or fear or whatever to keep you from getting this miracle and sharing it with everybody of how weak the devil is, right? So he went on to say, "All things with God are free." Did you hear what he said? It's free. Are you paying for it? It's free. He said, "Lay hands on it in faith and keep using it." Well, first of all, if I laid hands on it in faith, it would have to be immediately fixed, or I couldn't keep using it. So Eve said, "Baruch himself will not fix it, but I had a vision of two angels in blue jean overalls over their robes, holding tools in each hand near the red tractor, waiting to heal it." So when Baruch said this, I went out to the tractor. Oh, excuse me. After Baruch said this, I thought, well, they're waiting on me. I better go, you know. So I went out to the tractor and laid my hands on the gear housing and commanded it to be healed or restored in Jesus' name. Then I jumped on the tractor and started it and put it in gear, and it started moving. So I drove it down our mountain here, driveway, pretty fast. Normally, if a gear jammed, the wheel could have just flipped the tractor around or broken the housing. But it was smooth, with no noise at all. In other words, what I'm saying is it took faith for me to just jam it to the floor and go. You know, and because I knew what could happen, you know, if this didn't work, but it did work. That's how you see miracles, you see. So I went to the mailbox, which is down at the bottom of the mountain, and turned around on the blacktop, which causes one front wheel to go faster than the other. And there's no differential, so this puts a severe strain on those gears, and they perform perfectly. Actually, they're soft tires. The rubber in the tires is a soft compound, and it grips blacktop really good. So in turning it, I knew I was putting the biggest strain on these things you can put. I have a very long driveway. It's about a quarter of a mile down to the bottom of the mountain. And probably that's what really tore the gears up. Too much driving in four-wheel drive because we were on and off the blacktop, you know. And it, like I said, it didn't have a differential, so it was really a strain on them. And finally, they gave way, you know, after some years of doing this. So I drove to the top of the hill. Everything was working perfectly with no problems whatsoever. And, of course, this could only be done if the broken, hardened steel gears were removed and new ones were installed, along with the oil changed to get the metal pieces out, because one of those pieces would have jammed it up again, right? And this was done in a moment. In the moment I put my hand on the gear and commanded it to be done, all of that was done. So this is another confirmation to you that these angels are true. And their words to us, which were always according to the scriptures, were true. Later, I needed to put the tractor to a test because we needed a loader full of dirt. So I went up the mountain with no trouble, and I pushed up a pile of dirt on top of the mountain until I had a loader full, and I came back down the mountain with zero trouble. No problems whatsoever. Not any noises or anything. I've noticed that God usually does not use the same method twice in a row, but he expands our faith by using different methods, and so that we don't get in a rut and think it is the methodology that is doing this. You know, he wants us to keep our faith in him and get direction from him, right? I'll just give you an instance. I've prayed for refrigerators to be healed, and they went on working. But once the Lord had me to turn a refrigerator around that wasn't working and to look at the wiring diagram. Now, that was a silly thing for me to do because I didn't know how to read that wiring diagram. I had never read one of these in my life. But suddenly I could read it and understand it. You see, God can give you understanding instantly, you know. So suddenly, when I turned it around and I looked at it, I understood it and I could read it. So I went in to the refrigerator and pulled a part out from underneath the deck of the freezer. And as I did, and was holding the part in my hand, a friend walked in at that very moment and asked me what I was holding. And I told him it was the broken part to my refrigerator, and he said, "Well, let's go get it." I knew I didn't have any money, but I didn't say anything to him. And so I was just going with the Lord, going with the flow, right? And when my friend and I picked up the part, he paid for it. He just volunteered. I didn't say anything. He paid for it. And we brought it back and installed it in the refrigerator, and it worked perfectly. And this expanded my faith in God's power to fix things in different ways for every situation. I think that's why God doesn't do things the same way all of the time. And we shouldn't predict that. You get to falling into a rut of methodology here, you know. And so being led by the Spirit means that we are open to God using different methods each time to show his power. God chooses methods that do not give glory to man. His power is made perfect in our weakness. I had asked the angel Baruch about methods to get the gospel out in the future. And he said, "The methods of man will not be employed to reach the peoples of the earth in the days that are coming. The methods are all of the spirit realm and will be administered by the angels who are going to distribute the gifts to the saints." Saints, of course, means sanctified ones, right? So we knew this. We had been seeing some things. We actually had, I think Sandy went to the West Coast over there with, I think, about 8 or 9 books. And she handed out something like 48 books. Every time she'd stick her hand in her bag on the back of her chair, there'd be more books there. Every time she went to her drawer in her father's house there, she'd open the drawer and there'd be more books there. So, of course, the angels were printing them and distributing them. And we knew that, you know. And so I, since then, have commanded that books be distributed by the angels, which they said they would do. Okay? So the methods are all of the spirit realm and will be administered by the angels, Baruch said, who are going to distribute the gifts to the saints. And these include gifts of translation from place to place, languages, in other words, you having the language you need to talk to the people you need to talk to, healings, laying on of hands to impart to others their needs and what they're lacking, and to replicate the gifts by passing them on to others, whom the angels will point out. Supernatural downloads of wisdom and knowledge will be received for specific situations. See, this is what happened to me with the refrigerator. It was instantaneous knowledge. I got my revelation about the rapture, the truth about the rapture, in the same way in the beginning of my Christian walk. A supernatural download of wisdom. Amen. So, well, you remember Chris Garber's testimony where he said, as a confirming witness to the testimony that Brother David shared about the mechanic angels fixing his tractor on 8/17/22, I also had mechanic angels fix my tractor. God gave me a dream. See, that's how testimonies pass on faith to people to see things that they normally wouldn't see, right? So God gave me a dream of 2 mechanic angels fixing my tractor radiator. I watched how they did it. Next day, I looked online to see if the repair had ever been done, and I found several videos of people repairing radiators with putty. Well, you know what a radiator looks like. It's got vanes going up and down it that the liquid actually goes in. And in between the vanes, there's these webs that are for cooling. It's a thin piece of sheet metal that wigwags back and forth. And as the air blows through there, it cools down the water in the vanes, right? So if you shove putty up in there, it's highly unlikely that you're going to seal up everything, because you're having to shove it up in these tiny webs, and it's the veins that are actually leaking. He went on to say, I carefully applied the putty to the hole, and I applied it just as I saw the mechanic angels apply it in the dream, and prayed again, and left it to sit for 24 hours. Praise the Lord. The hole is completely repaired, no leaks. I used the tractor all day Saturday in warm temperatures under a big load, absolutely perfectly repaired by the angels. And when I heard the testimony of Brother David on 8/17/22, I thought, I have seen the same mechanic angels here. Praise the Lord. Well, Jesus did miracles differently. He was led by the Spirit. For example, Mark 7:33 says, and he took him aside from the multitude privately and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. When I prayed for Michael here recently for his ears, I put my fingers into his ears, you know, according to this example. And, of course, he was healed. But here he spat and touched his tongue. What do you think about that? And John 9:6-7 says, and when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle, and anointed his eyes with clay, and said unto him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation means sent. He went away, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Well, normally, you wouldn't think mud could heal anybody's eyes. And it really wasn't the mud that healed the eyes. It was when he washed the mud out of his eyes that his eyes were healed. And, of course, that's the problem, you know, with people seeing spiritually and physically is the earth gets in the way, right? Matthew 20:34, and Jesus, being moved with compassion, touched their eyes, and straightway they received their sight and followed him. Just a normal thing you might do, right? So, but he wasn't held to normal methods, you know, and he wanted you to know it isn't the method, it's the faith, right? So here's Michael's testimony. We called it, God healed deafness and tinnitus in my ears. Michael Hare, 9/13/22. In a hearing test online, I found out that my hearing in the right ear was at a very high level of hearing loss, and the left ear was at a mid-level of hearing loss. The other night, I was lamenting my frustration to a friend, and they asked me to check out a website that was espousing a simple, complete deliverance from the tinnitus that I had in both ears with just a simple exercise. And if that didn't work, because the methods of man quite often don't, they had natural things that you could take, etc., etc. Of course, all this is a distraction. That's all it is. I finally said to the Lord, Lord, you told me through the angels the cause of my hearing loss, and I repented of that. So this was one of those words that was given to Eve, which she gave quite a few words from the angels to individuals to tell them, this is what you need to straighten up. And when they straightened them up, guess what? They got the miracle or the healing or whatever it was, came to pass quickly. So that was another sign that the angels were dead on the money and speaking for the Lord, and they just wanted us to clear up things so that they could bring a healing, right? So Michael went on, and I repented of that, and now there is no reason why I can't receive my healing. So I got up and went downstairs and got David and asked him to cast this deafness off of me and for the ringing in my ears to stop. He did, and I agreed, and God did. It was not an immediate healing. At that time, I was going for a walk in the park, and so I headed out. And when I got to the park, I put my earbuds on to listen to the audio Bible and connect to my phone and hit play. And oh my, the volume level was way too high. In the past, it has always been set to max volume so I could hear. But now I had to turn it down to less than half the volume. I was ecstatic because I knew I had been healed. And, of course, this is a problem that's been getting exceedingly worse as time went by over the years. Okay. And he said, I immediately started praising God and thanking him for healing my hearing, and I praised and thanked him the whole 3.5 miles of my walk. Praise the Lord. I called friends and told them of my healing, and we praised him together. And I'm still praising him. Thank you, Lord, for healing my ears. Amen. Glory be to God. Okay, here's one by Anretta Wachira. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. 9922. And heal from physical and emotional pain. I have been unwell all week, and the pain was increasingly getting worse. Last night, about 3 a.m., the pain became so excruciating I began to wonder if I was having a heart attack. I didn't want to wake my family. I was crying in the bedroom, wondering what to do next. There was no one I could ask for prayer. I was crying out to God, "Heal me, Lord, heal me. I am so overwhelmed, Lord." Then I started to pray in tongues. And I believe the Holy Spirit prompted me to speak to God as my Father. So I started to tell him everything that was going on. And then my prayer took a turn. I asked him to help me feel like a son and not a servant. I believed I am a child of God, but I didn't walk as a son. And I didn't feel like a son. So she said, "Lord, I don't want to be a servant any longer. I want to be your son." Praise the Lord. I felt an amazing surge of authority come all over me, and I started to rebuke Satan to get out of my body and get out of my family. I started to command him to leave. And how dare he come after the child of the Most High God? Hallelujah. My Father is faithful, and his word is true, and his word does not return void. Amen. Amen. The pain did leave, and I was able to sleep. I hadn't had more than 2 hours sleep at a time in the previous 3 nights. Neat. I suppose the thing I thought was most significant for me was how I felt different inside. I feel peace and contentment, even though a lot of circumstances around me don't seem to have changed. And I realized how much I was striving and how far removed I had felt I was from God. I feel at peace. I feel no more condemnation or fear of disappointing God. I have love. I don't know how to explain that, though, not just within, but for people as well. It's only been one day, but I believe things have already shifted and will manifest in the physical realm. I pray this will be helpful to someone. God bless you all. Well, Father is preparing all in UBM to be provided for in the coming days of scarcity. Acts 2:44-45 says, "And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all, according as any man had need. Yes, and we know Philippians chapter 4 says, and my God shall supply your every need according to his riches in glory. And if you really believe that, you don't have to have a warehouse full of money behind you to feel comfortable, right? So, this has to include those who are on the front line sacrificing their lives to get the gospel out. The angel Baruch said, our great God is bringing back the first century Book of Acts church operations in part 5 of this series, by the way. This is exactly what the scriptures already tell us to do. Go and read it again. This is what I have been living and teaching for many years was coming. The sacrifices that the saints gave to bring equality in Acts paved the way for a great revival, which the angels have stated is about to be poured out again. Amen. We're seeing the beginnings of a great wave of miracles, healings, provisions, cars fixed. I don't know how many cars got fixed, just laying hands on it and commanding it to be fixed. No physical changes whatsoever. So, we're happy, to say the least. Okay, this is Eve Brast, 8:29-22, and she said, the harvest is ripe for the greatest revival. Amen. And Eve said, I asked the Lord Jesus to speak to us about this, and he said, my harvest is ripe for the picking. You may glean freely without fear of the enemy as long as you continue in faith and sacrificial praise and worship, lifting me up and glorifying my name. Your defenses will remain impenetrable as my messengers have told you. What a good message for us and also for the missionaries. The time for hiding is over. I am revealing my glorious bride for all to behold. I am moving you into a renewed time of great grace in spreading my gospel far and wide for the greatest revival ever witnessed. And Eve said, I understood that pockets of persecution will always arise, but the Lord will bring their efforts to naught. No matter what they do or say, it will result in a greater glorification of the bride and the name of Jesus moving forward, and the truth of the gospel will spread all the more. Yes, amen. And John 16:33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So remain faithful to all my commands that my messengers have brought to you, his angels, that's what messengers are, angels, and your enemies will remain scattered, subdued, and under your feet. Fear not, my bride, for I am with you. So, I asked for a word by faith at random for this word from the Lord, and my finger was on the words. Eve said, he commanded in Daniel 3:20, in context 20-25. And he commanded certain mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their hosen, their tunics, and their mantles, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but it didn't slay them, right? And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And that was all because they confessed their faith in God, and he delivered them and destroyed their enemies. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste. He spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loosed, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the aspect of the fourth is like a son of the gods." Well, it was the same story with Daniel in the lion's den. He was spared in the midst of lions, and the enemies were destroyed that were thrown in there. Amen. So, below is a praise report from one of our missionaries in the Middle East. Our giving is making a huge impact for the kingdom of God and for the great revival that is taking place overseas. And this is the head missionary. This is the man that started it all. He got all our materials, and praise God, he became a great missionary. So we call this missionary praise and thanksgiving for our giving. He said, "Thank God, thank God, dear Brother David, Mother Kathleen, and all faithful brothers, thanks to the Lord first, and thanks to you all. The money has arrived. Tomorrow I will get the car. Thank God, the Lord answers our prayers. Yes, it was a miracle." So this man was the leader of many missionaries in his nation, and had to have a car. But he had to sell his car to care for and feed the missionaries. So, and that really put him at a disadvantage, him being the apostle who was traveling around and, you know, making sure things were staying in order and so on and so forth. And they have hundreds of missionaries and thousands of converts to Christianity. Okay. He went on to say, "Before we knew anything about the money for the car or the money for the missionaries, bills whom the Catholics and Coptics attacked, we were in group prayer in one of the weddings of the missionary brothers, where one of the wives of the missionary brother who died in the earlier attack was married again." So they had a get together. And at the marriage, "We had asked the Lord to provide us with the car and help pay the missionaries' bills. And after the prayer, I felt something telling me that I should check the internet email. And I opened the net and found the message saying that there is a large amount of money that will arrive. I made the brethren here to see how the Lord responded to us and made them read the message. And the Lord increased their faith, and certainly in the power and control of the Lord. Also, this made some people who were afflicted with some confusion to increase their certainty and faith. Thank God. The car will play a very big role. It will save us time and effort. And we are also glad that the missionaries were helped to pay their bills. Thank God. Also, I write you letters when I have some time. We are now rotating and rearranging missionaries. Thank you all. The Lord is with us. My love to you all. Your brother is the servant of the Lord." And signed it, we signed it, XXXX. You don't want to do that. So my response to "Hi, XXXX, we are so glad the saints that are encouraged and their faith has been strengthened. God is good and faithful, and we are receiving more money. It's not the big money that we're expecting. We probably have enough to pay off the bills of the missionaries and meet their needs. And when we were sending the money you just received, at that moment, more money came in. We were literally at the bank sending the money. And at that moment, the lady said, oh, it was just deposited, such and such, right? And we left the bank with more money than we had when we got there. Praise God. It's not filling a very deep hole, I got to tell you. And we appreciate everything that people are sending because it's blessing. And this is the most worthy revival I know of anywhere to support. So this money, too, is available for the debt or other needs. So if we send you the money for the debt, it should meet the most important needs of the saints. So if you spend the money for these other things, we will make up the money you need for the debt later. And there is a civil war happening between the factions of the Alliance and the Deep State. And we suggest that you buy some food, and maybe, because that's one thing they're short of. Many of their missionaries were eating one meal a day, and sometimes they were eating leaves off the trees. Yeah. And wearing their shoes out, right? And I went on to say, and maybe even some extra fuel for storage, as well as shoes, etc. And I said, keep on believing, Mark 11, 23 and 24, and Matthew 18, 18 and 19. And that it says, of course, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Therefore, saints, you have been given the authority to decree things to happen. And that's what Jesus was giving them here. Therefore, I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And again, Matthew 18, 18 and 19. Verily, I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. And then I said, love to all, your servant in Christ, David. So, we are learning, we are being encouraged, the missionaries are learning and being encouraged, and they have a very, very sacrificial life. They're willing to put their life on the line. I got to tell you, when people who were former Muslims come to the Lord, and people who were former Catholics who had been former Muslims come to the Lord, they are powerful. Yes. And they are devoted to the Lord. Unto death they are devoted unto the Lord. These are the most worthy people I have ever known that now need our support. And I appreciate so much all of you who have sent in support to bless these people. It is spreading out of their nation and into other nations. The same thing is happening in Africa. They have books that the Lord himself is spreading, and sometimes supernaturally, because those books only say what the Lord says. That's why he would. Do you think he would do that for everybody else's books out there? I guarantee you he won't. Because if you just say what God says, it's powerful. And that's what these books are filled with. The word of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. It's no glory to me. It's no glory to any of us. It is a glory to you, Father. And we thank you so much for bringing all this to pass and all these souls coming into the kingdom. And it's expanding geometrically because each one who gets saved talks to others and they get saved. And it's just expanding. And all of it's got to be below surface level. It's an underground church. It has to be that way or people will die. We don't give names, places, or anything like that. And that's for a good reason. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. We praise you and we give thanks unto you. We glorify your name, Father, for what you're doing. Hallelujah. You are an awesome God. Lord, I ask you to fill every one of these missionaries on those two continents. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Empower them with your gifts. Do supernaturally through them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, saints, God bless you. We'll do this again sometime.